Good evening, good evening, good evening, and welcome to Overnight Depot. My name is Apostle Milton Jones. I want to take time out right now to give God all the glory, honor, and praise for what it is he will say, what it is he will do, how he will demonstrate. We covenant with him for miracles, signs, wonders, manifestations of the gifts of the Holy Spirit as he sees fit. We open this up and we allow the Lord to lead this service. We always want to welcome the Holy Spirit in to lead, guide, and direct the way that this orchestrate the way that this service will go. We know that we will not be disappointed. No, not 1 minute, not 1 second, not 1 hour. We're going to go ahead and make our declaration in the corner, Isaiah 61:1. And we're going to jump right into the word of God tonight in the name of Jesus. Now, it says this, that the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and to open a prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of vengeance of our God, and to comfort all who mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And they shall rebuild the old waste, and they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolation of many generations. Father God in heaven, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Father, to you alone we give all the glory, honor, and praise that is due your name. Father, we declare that this is the day which you have made. We will rejoice and be exceedingly glad. We declare in the name of Jesus, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Father, we declare that our teaching and preaching will not be with enticing words of men's wisdom, but in demonstration of in spirit and power, that the faith of the people lie not in the wisdom of men, but in the power of the Most High God. Father, we declare and decree in the name of Jesus, burdens will be removed and yokes will be destroyed as a result of this word tonight. We declare and decree this day, Father God, that they will be healed, set free, delivered, made whole, restored back into right relationship with you. We declare, Father God, that our preaching and teaching will go forth tonight, Father God, and that eyes are open to see, ears are open to hear, and hearts are open and ready to receive the engrafted word of God that will ultimately change lives forever. Father, we covenant with you for the miracle signs and wonders as you see fit tonight, manifestations of the Holy Spirit with power as you see fit tonight, in the name of Jesus. Let our tongue be the pen of the ready writer, writing the very oracles of your word upon the tablets of their hearts. And we give you glory and we give you honor and we give you praise for it now. In Jesus' name, let us all say amen and glory to God. Well, again, my name is Apostle Milton Jones. I want to thank you for joining us here tonight on Kingdom Encounter Live, where our goal each time is to represent God and help people to see, know who God is and what his desire is for their life. And we do this in simple, practical ways through teaching of the Bible so that we will show you how to implement this into your everyday life. Now, last time we were talking about the cause and effect. What was the cause and effect? And what were, you know, when you read Hosea 4:6, because we've been in this series about how Babylon is falling. And we were talking about how in Hosea 4:6, it was talking about how my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, not because knowledge was not available to them, but because the people, the priests, they made a decision to reject the knowledge that God had made available to them. And as a result of them rejecting the knowledge that was made available to them, when you're talking about the word destroyed, it means they was demolished, they was pulled down, they were ruined, they were annihilated, they were devoured, they were swept away, not because of anything that God had done, but because the people had made a decision to reject God's ways of doing things. And we found out about how that's how the whole Babylonian system got started. When the people had made a decision to reject God's ways of doing things and made a decision to come up with their own ways of doing things, and how they had perverted how the adversary had perverted the words of God, the principles of God that he had given to his people, and caused people to get off path, turn and go a different way that was away from God. In other words, the Babylon system is this, getting all the benefits of God without God. And no matter how successful you get, no matter how much money you bring in, no matter how many houses you drive, live in, no matter how many cars you drive, no matter what your status is in the world, If you gain everything in this world but lost your soul in the process, you gained absolutely nothing. And we found out that last week about how, you know, what are some of the ways that people are rejecting the knowledge? Well, one of the ways we talked about was they despise it. They lightly esteem it. You know, to despise something means that you lightly esteem it. You condemn, you scorn, you disdain it, it's the lowest opinion in your eyes. It's at the lowest opinion in your eyes. That's how you despise or lightly esteem the word or even a person. And this is, you know, or you can have disdain. You can have disdain towards the word of God, which some of the people is the word they thought to think something is unworthy, that it deems worthless. It is considered to be unworthy of notice or care or regard or esteem. It's unworthy of one's character. So it's, and then you have where you scorn. When you scorn the word, you have what's known as, you think it's unworthy, you have disdain towards it, you have extreme contempt towards it. That disdain, which springs from a person's opinion of the meanness of a object, and a consciousness or belief of your own superiority compared to what it is that you're hearing. Anything, you know what they say? Yeah, I'm like Frank Sinatra used to sing the song, "I'll do it my way." And it's like, you know what? People will begin in these last days. They will, as it said in Isaiah 5, it talks about how in Isaiah 5 and 20, how people, woe to those people who will call good evil and evil good. What will happen is they will become elevated in their own minds, elevated and puffed up in their own opinions, believing that their way supersedes or is better than God's ways. And then the final thing that the Lord talked to us about last week was how his pedikiko vingo santa. And he says, and that's where the source of all that is pride, where you believe that everybody else is wrong and you're right. When you can clearly show a person in the word of God what God's word says, what his standards are, what his principles are, what his ways are, what his thoughts are concerning the situation and circumstance, and you still come up with in your own mind, I understand everything that you said, I hear everything that you said, but at the end of the day, I despise the word, so I'm going to lightly esteem it. I have disdain towards it. I scorn it. And he says, and I have extreme contempt towards the word. Was there anything wrong with the word? No. For those who received the word and did it, they receive the desired result. For those who heard the word and refused to receive it and turned away from it and turned unto something else, he says that they receive their own reward. God doesn't have to do anything to punish you because you're talking about the kingdom of God, which is a governing system. Then by the fact that you make a decision, you or me or anyone else makes a decision to reject what the word of God says, by default, we turn on another set of laws, which is set up according to the kingdom of God. And what the adversary wants you to get to, this is the ultimate goal, that why he's bombarding you and bombarding you and bombarding you with all these theories and arguments and reasonings and all these things to try to exalt themselves higher than the word of God. He wants you to get to this point. And the point he wants to get you to is you are indifferent. You are indifferent when it comes to the word of God. And that's where the people here in Hosea and throughout the word from beginning, as you go all the way through, people follow God for a while, then they turn away. People follow God for a while and then they give up. People follow God for a while and then they find the next shiny thing. And they say, you know what? I'm done with that God thing. I'm going to do it this way. And what ends up happening is you can become so callous in your heart where, you know, your heart becomes hardened to the word of God. It's kind of like somebody who's working in construction or working with their hands. And in the beginning, their hands are really soft and everything. But the more they begin to work with tools, the more they begin to work with all these different things, they begin to form what's known as calluses. And what calluses is are hard formations on your skin. And even though in the beginning, when you start working with your hands, it was still very sensitive. But the more you work with those equipment, the more you work with those tools, those calluses built up and it became hardened to the point where you could not even feel it anymore. Your hands could feel it, but you didn't feel any pain. You didn't feel any hurt. None of those things. And he says that's the exact same thing that happens when you allow yourself to lightly esteem the word, to despise it, to scorn it, to disdain it, to reject it. He says you get to the point where you become indifferent. When you're indifferent, it means that you have neutrality of your mind between a person or things, to the point where your mind is not inclined to one side more than the other. In other words, you just become insensitive. You become callous to it. It doesn't faze you one way or another. Even though you may know the truth, you might have seen the truth, you might have been exposed to the truth at one point in time, because you have let all these things that happen in life come at you, and you did not make a decision. You or me, anybody, it can happen to anybody, could get to the point where, you know what, I just don't feel nothing. People begin to say, I don't care anymore. No matter what I say, no matter what I do, is it so I don't even care. So they don't even try anymore. But see, the adversary's ultimate goal is his long game is to wait you out. He's in it for the long haul. He knows that most people are into it for the short haul. He's in it for the long game. He's not concerned about if he loses a couple of battles here, but his ultimate goal is to win the war, when it really counts, to get you to give up, cave in, and quit. And that happens when you become so indifferent, or you have an unconcernedness. It says your mind is at the point where you have no anxiety or interest in what is presented to your mind. So people might be presenting truth to you, but because you're indifferent, it doesn't cause you no anxiety or interest in what is actually even being presented. It's almost to the point where there is no difference, or to the point where your moral or physical, no matter if you have more, there's no moral or physical reason that preponderates means that is that which exceeds in influence or power. Hence, it inclines you to one side. So there's nothing morally or physically, if there's no physical or moral reason that causes you to choose one side or the other, you just become, that's good Lord, stagnant. You are stagnant. You're not moving forward. Most people say, well, I'm not moving forward, I'm not moving backwards, I'm just kind of standing still. Well, in the things of God, you're either moving forward or you're moving backwards. But there is no such thing as you're just standing still. That never happens. Again, if you're not operating according to the kingdom of God, by default, you have turned on the law of sin and death. Now, why is all that important? Because God said in his word also, he says in Proverbs 22:9-2, he says, when the righteous, those who are consistently righteous, are in authority, people begin to rejoice. He said, but when a wicked man or woman rules, the people begin to groan. It says in Proverbs 29:18, where people do not accept divine guidance. So when people don't accept divine guidance, they run wild. They live their lives with no restraint. They live their lives with no control. They live their lives like, you know, you hear that term Zolo, you only live once. And, you know, that's like the word Sprite, obey your thirst, whatever feels good, looks good, tastes good, man, that's what we going to do, because we only going to live this life once. So I'm going to live every day to the fullest. Well, you know, if you really understand the fact that this life is only a dress rehearsal of what your next life is going to be like. Your next life is going to be determined whether you're going to spend time with the Father for eternity, or you will spend time separated from the Father for eternity. You are the deciding factor. You make those decisions every single day through the decisions, the words, and the actions that you demonstrate every single day. See, in the book of Judges, it talks about this, how that in Judges 17:6, it talks about, you know, in the days there was no king, there was no ruler. So what happened? Everyone did what was right in their own sights. And that's what you're hearing a lot of people when they say, you know, there's no absolute truth. You have your truth. I have my truth. Ladies and gentlemen, there is a truth. And the truth is the word of God. In fact, Jesus says, Father, in John 17:17, sanctify or set them apart by your truth. Your word is truth. And why is it so important to get the word of God? Because Jesus said in John 8:31-32, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you will know the truth, and that truth will make you free. It didn't say it's going to set you free. It said it's going to make you free. Why is it? How's it going to make you free? Because your mind will be renewed to new God's ways of doing things. And when you begin to renew your mind, it's going to cause you to think different. It's going to cause you to feel different. It will cause you to respond different. It will cause you to decide different. It will cause you to act different. And when you're doing all those things, it's going to turn you another way. It also says this in Judges chapter 21 and 25. It says, again, in those days, there was no king. And because there was no leader, everyone did what was right in their own eyes. See, ladies and gentlemen, you got to understand the reason why God gave apostles. Jesus gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers was to be able to mature you in the things of God so that you can do works of service within the community, within your province, your city, your state, your nation, your in the world, to be able to edify and grow the body of Christ. See, it's the lips of the uncompromisingly righteous that feed many. Like when you hear, like what we're doing right now, we're feeding many. What are we feeding people on? We're feeding people on the word of God. We're feeding people on the wisdom of God. We're feeding people on with knowledge and understanding. That's what pastors do. They feed the people with knowledge and understanding, people who are after God's own heart and want to see God's will done on earth, just like it is in heaven. He says, the lips of the uncompromisingly righteous feed many. He says, but fools will die for lack of wisdom. Remember how this all started is God says, my people are being destroyed, demolished, humiliated. You know why? Because of their lack of knowledge. And he says, the lips of the uncompromisingly righteous will feed many. He says, but fools die because of their lack of knowledge. See, people, even back all the way back in the book of Malachi, and it was talking about how, you know, people who God had already had covenant with and everything, they, even though they saw everything God did, they saw the works he did, they heard about all the stories, how God brought their ancestors out of Egypt and how he did it in many miraculous ways. Even though all those things was present, even though they knew all those things, that in many cases they seen things like that, the people still had made a decision. They made a decision to turn away from following God's ways of doing things. In fact, they went so far as to begin to talk bad towards the Father. It says this in Malachi chapter 3, verse 13. God is saying this to them. He says, you have said terrible things about me. And says the Lord, but you say, what do you mean? What have we said against you? God said this to them. He said, you have said, what's the use of serving God? And what have we gained by obeying his commands or by trying to show the Lord of heaven's armies that we are sorry for our sins? And so they said, what's the big deal? What are we gaining from it? I mean, we were doing this, we're doing that. What's the big deal? What are we getting out of it? And because we don't see that there's any benefit to us for following God, from now on, this is what we're going to do. From now on, we will call the arrogant blessed. Those who are not doing it God's ways, the people who had covenant with God says, you know what? Since we don't believe we're seeing anything doing it your way, we're going to call the arrogant blessed. Not only are we going to call them the arrogant blessed, but for those who do evil, get rich. And those who dare God to punish him suffer no harm. So they're looking externally and says, you know what? For those who who aren't even following you, Lord. They look like they're getting rich. They look like, you know, there's they're daring you to do something to them. And it looks like on the natural that nothing is happening. And, you know, and we call them blessed. We call those the ones who are blessed. Now, what they don't understand is God gives everyone a point or time to repent. What's that word repent means? Change your mind, change your thoughts, change your actions, and turn and go a different way. So he gives everyone a period of time to change their actions, change their thoughts, change their decision, change what it is that they're going to do. You and I are both, if you're in the body of Christ, you and I are both people who have experienced that. At one point in time, we was going one way in our life, but then when we heard the truth of God's word, we made a decision to. We heard it. We believed it. We heard new information. It changed our thoughts. It caused us to make a different decisions, which caused us to make a different choice and go in a different direction than the one we was following. And even though these people, they're looking at it externally, saying, in our eyes right now, it doesn't seem like anything has happened to those who are daring you or who are blatantly disrespecting you. And he says, then God, this was one group of people who were saying this about God. But then it says that those who feared, there were those also there who feared the Lord or had a reverential fear and esteem of God, who respected him, who are quick to obey, quick to listen, and that who esteem him and his word highly. God was also listening to them and what they said in his presence. And you got to understand, it says in his presence, a scroll of remembrance was written to record the names of those who reverentially feared and respected and held him and his word in great esteem, and always thought about the honor of his name. God says, they will be my people, says the Lord of heaven's armies. On the day when I act in judgment, they will be my own special treasure. He says, I will spare them as a father spares an obedient child. Then you will again see the difference between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and those who did not. Now, we've seen two groups of people in this. We've seen one group, the children of Israel, but you have two totally different types of people in the same organization, in the same group. One group of them lightly esteem God and his word. Another group highly esteem God and his word, even though they're in the same situation. They might be in the same community, same province, same state. They might even be sitting in the same church. And because you got to remember, these were both groups. In this group were people who already had a covenant with God. Just like Hosea, there were people who already were in covenant with God. Even though they were in covenant with God, they did not always honor God. And God says that is what's causing so many people to be so much stuff going on, being devoured. They're being swept away. They're being humiliated because they have made a decision to lightly esteem God and his word. And they're beginning to call the world with the world system or the Babylonian system. They're saying that's more prosperous, and saying God's way doesn't work, or God's way. See, it's not the fact that God's way doesn't work. What happens is people, they've been in that same situation for 20 years and they give God 2 weeks to turn that situation around. Well, you know, in some situations, yeah, things can be turned around really quickly, but some situations, it takes a little bit more time because you have to get situations or circumstances to line up, because again, God does not and will not override anybody else's will, no more than he will override your will. You have a right to choose. You have a right to choose to obey God, or you have a right to reject God. You have a right to obey his word and apply it to your life, or you have a right to reject his word and not apply it to your life. Just like you just saw in the same group. They were still talking about the same God, yet they had different seen him from totally different perspectives. Another way where it talks about this is in the book of Jude. How Jude was talking about how even Enoch, y'all remember Enoch, he was the one who God, you know, raptured him to heaven. He never even saw death. It says that Enoch, who lived in the seventh generation after Adam, prophesied this about these people. He says, listen, the Lord is coming with countless thousands of his holy ones to execute judgment on the people of the world. He will convict every person of all the ungodly things they have done and for all the insults that ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These people are grumblers. Now, this is the type of people, and you will see some, so you'll see these people in the world. You'll see this people in the marketplace. You'll see these people in government. You will see these people on social media and stars. You'll see these people. You will even see some of these people in your church. And these are the type of people. This is what they do. Remember, we just talked about a group of people who was talking about God in their hearts. And this is what the Enoch is prophesying will happen. And Jude is recording what would happen. He says that these people will do this. They're grumblers. They're complainers. They're living only to satisfy their desires. They brag loudly about themselves and they flatter others to get what they want. So what are you talking about? He says, these are the type of people that where judgment is going to come to these people because they have what? They have turned away from the things of God and as opposed to building up and reverencing and honoring God and honoring his ways and doing things the way he says. They have made a decision, man, forget all that. Not only are we not going to follow his ways, but we are also going to talk against him. We're going to speak against him. We're going to be grumblers. We're going to be complainers. We're going to be living only to satisfy our own desires. We're going to brag loudly about ourselves and we're going to flatter others to get what we want. Now, people say, well, mostly when you're talking about, you know, people who aren't following God, it may be those are people who are most likely to do that. But as we already found out, there could be people who are actually in the body of Christ or in the church, but have never made a decision to become members of the overall church who will also fall in this same category. Job wrote about that there was going to be people who, because they had so much prosperity and goods and all the world, because you got to understand the anointing of the adversary is money. And what he does is he makes sure he will cause you to prosper in this life and to the point where he's like, well, I don't have a need for God. And you'll find out when you try to go minister to people who have a little success, if they have not come into a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, they'll tell you, I don't need Jesus. I don't need God. I got everything I need because I did it all on my own. I'm a self-made person. And this is the type of person that Job's talking about in Job 21:14. It says this, and this is what they will say to God, go away. We want no part of you and your ways. Who is this Almighty? And why should we obey him? And what will it do? What good will it do us to pray? They think their prosperity is of their own doing, but I will have nothing to do with that kind of thinking. They think that everything they got it all on their own and that they have no need of God. I didn't need God to get all this. Well, who gave you breath to breathe? Who gave you those abilities and skills and talents? Remember, God gives everyone a space of time to repent. So even though you might be going the wrong way and he's trying to get you to turn. Remember, he will not override your will. You have your own will. And even, you know, we find this out, even, you know, people say, you know, well, I wish I would have been born back when, you know, back when the children of Israel were here. I wish I would have been born back in the times before Jesus or whatever the case may be. You got to understand God never changed his mind about the people. His will for the people was always good, but whether they received good or not was not dependent upon God as much as it was upon them. You find this when you read, the famous story about in Jeremiah 18 about the potter's house and how there was a potter and God has sent, the prophet Jeremiah down there. And he says, hey, I'm gonna go down to this potter's house and there I'm going to show you something. And he gave him this word. He was like, the clay was marred in the potter's hand, but the potter was going to make something new out of the clay. And he said, children of Israel, can I not do the same thing with you? And God is saying the same thing to you and I. Can I not do the same thing with you? Can I not make it all new? Can I not make it all good for you again? If you will but yet choose my way of doing things. And God literally came to these people and told them, hey, judgment is coming to you. Judgment is coming to you because of the evil that you have done and you have turned away, and there is judgment coming to your house. And this was what there, even though the prophet told them what the Lord said to them, this and what he told them. So turn from your evil ways of you. And he says, and do what is right. So turn from your evil ways and do what is right. This is what the people's response was. Even though the word of the Lord came to the people, this is what their response was. The people replied, don't waste your time. Don't waste your breath. We will continue to live as we want to, stubbornly following our own evil desires. Now, even though the word of the Lord came to the people, even though it was God's desire for them to be turned from the judgment, because he's telling them judgment is coming to your house. And even though he warned them and he told them all these things was going to come, yet the people made a decision to do it their own way anyhow. And the same thing happened in Hosea, when they made a decision to reject God's knowledge, the same thing happened in Malachi when people made a decision to reject his knowledge. But what happened to the people who made a decision to receive God, to honor him and to honor his word and to honor his way of doing things? What did they receive? Their names was written in a book of remembrance. And God says, you can clearly tell that they are mine and I am theirs. He says there's a clear difference between those who obey me and those who do not. He says, ultimately, he's saying the choice is in your hands. Whether you receive good or whether you receive not so good is not dependent upon God. It's dependent on what you do with what it is that is set before you. The same thing happened with the children of Israel. The same thing will happen with you and I. The choice ultimately is ours, what we're going to do. But if you reject the knowledge that God has made available to you, by default, you turn on the laws of the kingdom of darkness, and the result of sin is death. Whether physical, whether you end up with calamity, you end up in all these kind of situations. The ultimate result is whatever seed you sow is the harvest you will grow. You are the determining factor. Now, for those who've never received Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior, for those who may have followed him at one time, but they have gotten away, I want to give you an opportunity to get back in right relationship. I want this to be day one for you. Why are we telling you all this? God never wants to scare you, but he does want to prepare you. God never scares, but he does want to prepare. That is his goal for this whole series of what is coming, so you can prepare for what is to come. Now, how do you get back in right relationship with him? How do you come into right relationship with God? Man, it's so simple. So simple, a child can do it. In accordance to Romans chapter 10, verses 8, 9, and 10, it says this: the word of God is near you, it's in your heart, it's in your mouth. It's the word of faith which we preach, that if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Pray this prayer with me. Confess it out of your mouth, mean it from your heart. Say this with me: Dear Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I do believe Jesus Christ, He is the Son of God. I believe He died for me on the cross and carried my sins for me. I believe He was put in a grave, but now He's risen. He's alive right now. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Save me now. I repent of sin. I receive your offer of forgiveness. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for choosing me. Thank you for accepting me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit now. In Jesus' name, I believe I am saved. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you pray that prayer for the very first time, I want to welcome you into the body of Christ, welcome you into the kingdom of God, welcome you into right relationship with Him. Now, what do you got to do now? Man, you got to get in a word-based church that teaches you about the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ, about the love of God and the kingdom of God. We know that Ignite Depot is such a place for you. And you can join us here every week at 6 p.m. Atlanta Standard Time, or join us at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and you'll hear words like this, great words, or you can go out to our podcast at Ignite to Life audio podcast. Again, that's Ignite to Life at audio podcast. You can hear this message and other messages. You can like, you can subscribe, you can share it. If you have a prayer request, send it to info@ignitedepot.com. That's info@ignitedepot.com. And if you want to be a blessing to the ministry, man, you can send an e-transfer to info@ignitedepot.com. That's info@ignitedepot.com. We love to receive it. Help us to continue to get this gospel of the kingdom of God all over the world. And on behalf of Pastor Julian and entire Ignite Nation, I want to thank you for joining us tonight. And we'll see you next time. Have a great evening. God bless you. Bye-bye.